Good morning, everybody, and just to welcome councillors Brown, Bell, and Laws. I think the only ones that weren't on the bus. And welcome to the Clutha District and welcome to Bell Clutha. I'll declare this council meeting open and just ask Mayor Cadogan if you'd like to say a couple of short words and brief us on some health and safety, maybe, and we can catch up later at lunch and this afternoon on a tour of Ryde.
Thanks, Jess, Stephen. And my welcome, everyone. Welcome, Hoa. It's a real privilege to have you here today. Housekeeping rules, just so you know, as with any politician, you need to know where to scatter. So out that door and out that door and out, or that door and out for the exits. The toilets are over there. Steve's only told me four times that I've got to be brief, so thank chance. But it is a real treat. I'm looking forward to catching up with you later on in the day. I know that we've already flowed over time, so welcome to those of you that weren't on the bus for the first welcome. All the best for your meeting, and I'll catch up with you later on. Thank you.
All right, on with our agenda, and item one is apologies. We have an apology from Councillor Deeker. There are no further apologies. I'm happy to move that we accept that apology. Secondly, Councillor Robertson, I'll put it all in favour. Please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Item three, we're fine with confirming agenda. Are there any matters of an urgent nature? Item four?
Yes.
Councillor Ward?
Sorry, can I talk about it now, can I? Thank you. Could I put the freedom camping issue on the agenda? The only reason it's urgent is because we won't be able to discuss it before the next round in the meeting with the mayors and the Minister of Tourism, the Honourable Kelvin Davis, is slated to happen in early March. So I want to raise the ORC's potential presence at that meeting and involve.
All right.
So I can't put it onto the agenda for the next meeting, but it is urgent because that meeting is slated for, as I said, early next month.
Yes, so that's a meeting that the Minister has set up with some mayors that are having some freedom camping issues. Councillor Laws raised it after this agenda had been circulated. I'm not sure it's a matter of urgent nature. We haven't got any papers prepared, Mrs. Garner, for today. I'm not sure the meeting with the Minister is entirely relevant to us. Is it something that we would be interested in hearing, having a paper at the next round of committees?
I think so, and I think it's not only Dunstan, but I know down Catlin's and talking to Mayor Cadogan, it's the same thing as well. So it does involve all of us, not just Dunstan. And it probably is prevalent throughout all of Otago, so we do need to have something, but I think we do need to do our homework on it as well.
Yeah, I think we need to be informed about the legislation and the bylaw and how it's being handled around the region, and if it is actually a regional council issue, and that needs some research, Mrs. Gardner, to inform the discussion.
Well, can I?
We can do that, yeah, no problem.
Can I speak to the motion? There isn't a motion. Can I? Because I've just introduced it, and thank you for your contribution, Carmen. Can I say, colleagues, the Freedom Camping Act in 2011 came in, and it, I'm not sure that you're aware, but it gave regional councils a responsibility too, an equal responsibility along with territorial authorities for action and potential involvement in this issue. The Freedom Camping Act is probably, it would be fair to say, past its use-by date. And as a result of that, 22 mayors have been invited by Kelvin Davis, including, I imagine Brian would be, I don't know, Carmen, has, yeah.
Certainly
Jim and Tim have from my area as well. And I think David Cull's going too. But the strategy, the involvement of the regional council is not to take a position. It is an actual fact to be involved in a discussion with central government. And I think it would be useful for the Otago Regional Council to be represented at that meeting with the minister. So I'm not sure that requires a background paper. We aren't being asked to frame a bylaw or to take a policy position. It's really to open an information channel between central government and the Otago Regional Council on this issue.
So,
Mrs. Garston.
Yes, just for your information, Chair, I did send some information out to councils last night, I think, which you may have received, which just clarified that our involvement in Freedom Campaign is limited to land that we control or manage. So that largely is some of our flood assets and potentially other regional council land that we manage. The scope, really, under Freedom Campaign provisions is a lot broader, of course. All the likes of district councils who own generally a lot more land of the type of land you would expect would be attractive to Freedom Campaign.
Thank you. All right. Councillor Bell.
Yeah, just I think I would be supporting Councillor Laws and Councillor Hope in the sense that I believe that we should be asking if we can be part of the invitation of being at that meeting. Just as an observer, Stephen, I think it would be fitting to see the chair of the regional councils there and just getting an understanding, because collectively we are all involved one way or another, even though we may not have land problems. So we have air, water and land. So I think, Mr. Chairman, it would be a good look, and I think that report from that meeting back to here from you, and it still doesn't stop Sarah to do anything formal later on. That's my thoughts.
All right. General comfort?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter we can discuss or add to the agenda today. We're not in a position to do that.
Well, can I then so move, Mr. Chairman, and that would be that the Otago Regional Council make contact with the Minister of Tourism's office and assess the potential for the Otago Representative Council to be represented at that meeting with the Minister in early March to discuss the Freedom Camping issue.
And you're wanting to add on to that a paper comes to the next round of committees?
Yes, well, that would be dependent upon what comes out of that, but I know we'll be involved after that meeting, one assumes, because the indication from the Minister is that there is likely to be an amendment to the Freedom Camping Act that I'm sure the Otago Regional Council wants some input into.
Right, is there a seconder for that recommendation? Motion? Councillor Hope? Discussion?
Well, just clarifying, it seems to me the important part is that the chairman is at this meeting rather than a paper come to the next committee.
Yes, that's right.
Really another issue further up the track.
That's right.
That's essentially the recommendation that Lauren will capture. We'll make inquiries as to the. All right. Any further discussion? I'll put it all on paper. Please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. All right, are there any matters of a conflict of interest with respect to today's agenda? It would appear not. There's no public forum.
Sorry, just relative to the in-committee agenda.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. We'll note that, Councillor Kempton, and you can act appropriately at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thank you. No matters of public forum or presentations. We'll confirm the minutes of the 13th of December council meeting. They have been attached to your agendas. Everybody comfortable they're a true and accurate record of our last council meeting? Somebody prepared to move in that direction? Thank you, Councillor Hope. Second, Councillor Scott. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Actions from those minutes? Are they there too, McDonald? Sorry? I don't think there was any, no, that's why I'm right up. All right, we'll move straight on to the first item on our agenda, which is the Chairperson's report. And, excuse me, look, I'll take it predominantly as read. Mrs. Gardner and I will do a bit of a tag team, and perhaps as part of her report, with the respect to feedback on the RSG Regional Sector Group meeting that was held last Thursday and Friday, Thursday evening and Friday. But you'll see in my report that we had another successful Waitangi Day followed by a joint Otago Southland Mayoral Forum, this time hosted in Bluff for Waitangi Day and then Invercargill for the Mayoral Forum, and also a joint Tarupa Tayo. It was good to have the chief executive of Te Runga o no Tahu, Lisa Tumahai, at Te Rupa Taiao, and interesting to hear her speak of the focus from Ngāi Tahu on ensuring their commercial arm and their more social aspect of their delivery is being more closely integrated, and quite a strong focus, including where appointments for critical positions have come from and the knowledge across their whole gamut of their program. So that was good to see. And the other one that I'll note is the meeting that Mrs. Gardner and I had with Jordana White from the Cozy Homes Trust will result in a workshop coming up on some ideas that she has posed for ORC with respect to our air quality strategy and air quality work. And any questions on the chairperson's report? Councillor Hope.
Did you find Jordana White from Cozy Homes Trust quite open to our, you know, or open to any of our ideas, or how did you find the meeting?
Oh, it was informal catch-up, and it's good. Mr. McLean is our link with the trust, and I think it's working well. But we'll be able to give you more details on a workshop in the future. All right. Well, Mrs. Gardner, hand over to your report, please.
Thank you. I will take my report as read, if that's all right, and. Also, I just thought what would be the most useful would just be to cover the Chief Executive's Environment and Economy Forum, which I attended last Thursday, and then, of course, RSG, the Chair and I attended the following day, so meeting with Minister Damien O'Connor as part of the RSG agenda happened on Thursday. So, really, the key points that came out of CEIF's in particular, where we spent a good deal of time with Minister Parker. He was incredibly generous with his openness, I think. And in terms of where the government is tracking and what that means for us, he made the point they're very much operating as one government. So that's slightly different to in the past in the sense that means that when things are put forward on the government agenda, there must be agreement with the three parties, which has not always been the case with confidence and supply and other types of agreements in the previous government. There are a number of ministers that, I guess, touch the business that we're involved in, being, of course, Grant Robertson, who's leading work on the economy, but also Minister Parker, Minister O'Connor, Manaia Mahuta, and Minister Farfoy. He was very much explaining that, if you like, the foundation element and in a way, the goal of this government is to change land use in New Zealand. And in order to do that, there are, if you like, sort of three pillars of activity that the government is focused on. One of those pillars has been cancelled out already, and that was really any water levy or tax. Quite sore about the fact that there wasn't a lot of support for that, but that's really off the table at the moment. The other two pillars are bringing agriculture into the ETS and also the billion trees. And so when the government is thinking about these initiatives, it was very clear that what they're really thinking about is how they can use those levers and I guess the outcomes you get from having participation in the ETS or the Billion Trees program as far as broader environmental effects go. So, you know, water quality improvements, sedimentation control with planting trees, and also only 5%, a small 5% investment on emissions for the agriculture industry to start with. He made some other interesting points, some more pertinent to us than others. Very interested in integrating the pattern of an investment with land use, and as a consequence of that, pushing investment capital to more productive use. Absolutely against further investment in the residential rental market. So really don't support that sort of driver for people to invest in rental property. I'd rather see New Zealanders do something else. The marginal cost, as I said, of emissions for agriculture will be 5%. They really want to be signalling that they want land use change at an individual farm level. So it's quite a detailed policy and very interesting in the sense that, these billion trees and others are drivers for those, some of those outcomes. He talked about water and acknowledged a collective, what he saw as a collective failure of central and local government in regards to nailing water issues. He does want all Wimmera's rivers to be swimmable, but only in summer, and he doesn't expect swimmability during floods or pressures in the summertime. He said, getting letters from regional councils around land use, and that he also acknowledges that councils often are challenged with land use issues that perhaps need some central government advice or support. He was talking about perhaps doing something around maybe winter grazing practice at a central government level. He also talked about allocating nutrient discharges. He talked primarily about dissolved oxygen, macroinvertebrates, setting the right levels for those. So there's a lot of stuff that was relevant to us. In terms of climate change, just there's a couple of things, setting up a climate change commission, so we can expect to see that fairly soon. And also linked to that is an urban development authority. That authority comes about in part because of the perceived issues around stormwater and sewage management, so some of the issues that are happening in Auckland. But also what's interesting for us is that the Urban Development Authority will have some kind of role to deal with sea level rise in South Dunedin, and he said that twice. So there's definitely a central government awareness about South Dunedin, which was quite interesting, I thought. Also acknowledging that, you know, there are broader issues that might need to be looked at. Very interested in how improvements in infrastructure and other things can be financed, and looking at things that might sort of not be the traditional loans from banks type example. So he was clear about that. Again, when he spoke about natural hazard reduction, he mentioned South Dunedin. So that was kind of his overall, I guess, flavour of where he was going. There was some further talk about some of the other areas that that other ministers are covering. So, for example, Manaia Mahuta is taking responsibility for Three Waters work. So it's very much, it sounds like a real team effort, and there are really a cluster of ministers who are understanding the broader environment space. So that was really the crux of the CEIS meeting. We also... We cover RSG at the same time. Okay, so Minister Parker also appeared at RSG. He gave an abridged version,
summarised version of the same message.
Yes, yep. Of the same message. We also heard from Damien O'Connor, Minister O'Connor. He was very interesting. He gave us a little bit of a talking to about not courting the opposition. So he was a little bit sore about that. And
also bitter about not having his water tax.
Yes, very, very upset about that as well.
Yeah.
He talked about appointing a primary sector council to develop a vision for each sector. And the example he gave was perhaps in the food sector or the primary sector that grows food, talking about a vision of having the finest food in the world, that sort of thing. He said, look, we just want swimmable rivers, there's no blame, and we need more science. I thought that was an interesting view. He'd recently met with the Overseer Board, so you're all familiar with Overseer I assume. Sure. Okay, so certainly acknowledging that originally Overseer was a fertiliser tool, was used out of the original scope when it got put into plans and other things, and quite concerned that the support for Overseer, I guess, continues, but also that the tool works well. I know, was talking with other regional council CEs, they are quite concerned about Overseer and where that's taken them, and whether or not it's still a tool that's credible and can be used in the future. Damien O'Connor also spoke about biosecurity, in particular Mycoplasma bovis. He acknowledged that we don't know the extent of it yet. He said it's harder to test for than TB, but he doesn't accept that this will be ongoing, and I think they did milk testing at 900 farms, I think, and the all clear was given for all of that milk, so that sounded promising. He was asked about whether double fencing and planting was necessary in all cases. His view was it wasn't, unless you had a neighbouring property that had an infection. He talked about turning away the car carriers with stink bugs and how concerned he was about that. He also spoke about the K5 rabbit virus and his view that you know, it needed to be sorted out in short order and his general support for that. He feels that water storage is absolutely pivotal to solving water problems, but he understands that where water is stored and how it's stored is very complex. So he did understand that. He also talked about, I guess, what he called a restructure of MPI. And in particular, he spoke about bringing biosecurity back as a brand in and of itself, making it much more out there in terms of our ports and airports and those sorts of things, and doing similar for food safety. So, you know, we've seen food safety out, it got put back in under the national government, it's going to come out. So really MPI will become very much a regulatory and really a policy organisation with these other organisations under. So that was largely what he talked about. He also did say the rural and urban divide is not as big as he had thought, and also talked about, you know, how infrastructure is run down, similar to Minister Parker, and how unique financing strategies might be something that we need to look at. So that was him. Then Minister Parker spoke, and I have to acknowledge I have misplaced my...
I can briefly give you so Mr. Farfui is the Minister of Civil Defence, and you'll be aware that the previous Minister, Mr. Brownlee, following the Christchurch fires and Kaikoura, instigated a review of Civil Defence, and we have submitted to very strongly. And so the report from that is out, and so we were pretty keen to hear from him what his initial thoughts were. Some pretty strong recommendations there, particularly around the MCDEM and the national organisation, and saying that we need a new fit-for-purpose organisation, a lift in professional standard, a lift in consistency of training, etc. Number of recommendations. And he was overall reasonably positive, but some of the bigger ticket items, new crisis management centre, etc., would need some time to work through, but they are expecting to be, by the middle of the year, responding to the report as government. But overall, they were pretty supportive of the key recommendations that were in the report. And from what we've seen, we're pretty, and the local government sector is pretty comfortable also.
We have an opportunity to reply to that report.
And yes, that's right.
By the end of March, he's asked us to do that. So I have asked Mr. Hawker to come to next committee with a report on the review in detail. I guess the other key thing that was discussed at RSG was a lot of discussion around how we can resource work at the national level, so work at the sector level, and what that might look like in the future. At the moment, it was really just a question that was posed, and a proposal was going to come shortly from Sean McCartney at Horizons Regional Council about how we might do that. So I'm not sure how much you're aware of how much work goes on at the national level, but there is a lot. The SIGs particularly, they have a very heavy workload. My view perhaps could be more targeted slightly, but there is a lot of activity that happens at those SIGs, and that's where the sort of national thinking, if you like, is done. So it's, in my view, I think it's important we're there, but I also would like to see them a little more streamlined.
Great. So this was an important conversation because it's the first one we've been able to have as our regional councils collectively with the new government, where we've actually had ministers in front of us giving us some feedback on their direction of travel. And so, you know, overall themes is it looks like there's ongoing support for the work of the Land and Water Forum. In fact, the minister, both ministers have written to the Land and Water Forum with some questions, work program for them to continue with. Things like the swimmability target Mrs. Gardner's referred to, a simplifying of that, which we were, as a sector again, been pushing for a while, and it actually lines up with our medium flows and our water quality and 6A plan change. So, yes, we're focused on swimmability, but it's during the season when people recreate water, so and taking out the high flows out of the assessments around swimmability of water quality. And so reasonably sensible sort of stuff. But David Park is quite clear that they want all factors involved, all to be taken account of, not just diving into the detail and referred to land use change and the drivers around that a number of times. So overall, some good conversations. Nothing that is of a major surprise. In fact, much of it very helpful, actually. And I was looking to regional councils for, as a collective, and the SIGs, for assistance to work with MFE to deliver on some of their targets. And,
just one extra thing to note. Each of the ministers have quite a considerable package of cabinet papers going to cabinet over the next month or two. So we could expect to see major announcements coming out of cabinet meetings sort of in the near future.
All right. Questions? Councillor Bell.
Yeah, through you, Mr Chairman. Sarah, did Damon say when the K5 was going to be released? Is it still on target for this coming order?
Yes, as I understand it, I am expecting to see an approval this week. I don't know if it's happened yet, but that's certainly what was expected, and Minister O'Connor was surprised he hadn't had it yet.
Yep.
So we'll just keep that to ourselves until it comes out of appreciation.
No.
But we were very clear, Canterbury and ourselves, OIC, were very clear on the desperate need for this, and that is how the Minister responded, and then we had a wee message the next day, so we'll read about it soon.
Mr Chairman, I'd just like to say that I'm very impressed with the detailed report, Sarah, you've given us, and the way you've explained and taken us through. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kempton.
I was just interested in the... there's some disappointment around the performance of central government and regional governments, regional government around a regional council around water. It's kind of easy for a new minister to say when, in fact, that was a pre-election, part of the pre-election electoral platform. Did you get any sense of what it is they're disappointed about?
Not specifically. What I would say, though, is that Minister Parker is much more focused on water quality than allocation.
Okay.
So I would suspect that that's really where his heart is. rather than solving the allocation issue, and I think you can see that with the policy around changing land use.
And I'll add to that, Minister Parker's background is in finance.
Indeed.
As against the previous minister's background as a who used to dig into detail and write policy himself at times. And so he's wanting all the externalities talking about land use, the big lever drivers. He's up here a bit more, which is helpful. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I mean, Minister Parker is from Otago. He's a friend of Otago. His background's in more than just finance. He's a lawyer. He has been following the water quality story and participated in it at various times for quite a period of time. Anybody that he attended the pre-election speeches and interaction at the early settlers with them would see that. I would, you know, love, you know, for this council to offer, you know, Minister Parker the opportunity to come and speak to us directly. We need to work together, and all of us need to raise their game in relation to what would Minister Parker be disappointed with. You know, I mean, it's not hard to see that there's been a deterioration in water quality wherever there's been intensive agriculture, and that's why they're looking at, you know, modifications in land use, and then looking, I suspect my question is, well, firstly, you know, is that a possibility that we could invite Minister Parker in the first, you know, to come and speak to us directly? And I agree with the Chair that all three ministers are saying things that are basically consistent to where we're hoping to be.
That's an absolutely a possibility. We can extend the invite.
Certainly. As it happens, I've been talking with Ms. Sutton about exactly that and how we might invite the Minister down to have a look at a number of things.
Yeah, and so I suspect if there's a question, the question is in relation to changes. As you said, Mrs. Garner, are you talking about fundamental changes in land use, or are you talking about, hey, we need to find some spaces for our extra tree planting, hey, the existing land use regime may have to modify to meet the water quality requirements as opposed to fundamentally change?
I personally, the view I have, especially when they're talking at individual farm level, is fundamental change in land use.
So what does that actually mean then?
Well, I think when you look at, you know, and obviously I'm not writing the policy in Wellington, but if you look at the the chat about the levers they're going to pull in terms of the ETS and also the Minister's interest, particularly in sedimentation, then I think that gives me a clue around he's wanting people to make different decisions because of some of the drivers that government perhaps put upon us in the future.
Yeah, but a 5% change, I think you said there was a 5% change in ETS. Finance is not going to drive a fundamental change in the land use. What it'll do is it'll ideally modify it, not fundamentally change it.
I think you may well be right. It'll be interesting to see what the results are. I guess I'm only giving you my opinion from what he said. And the messaging to me was fairly strong around a desire to see land use differently.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just made a comment. Okay, it's a good idea to get them to come and speak to us, but I don't think we need to rush in. They need to firm up a bit on what we're thinking about. I think it's pretty wishy-washy at this stage. But you say fundamental land use change, what does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Can I sort of say, I'd go exactly the opposite, Doug, to be honest with you. I would think get in on the ground floor sport if you want to influence, because if... Yeah. It's a bit like trying to influence after he's got in the car and found the map and is on his way. Mm. So, Brian, you need to turn that into a motion, my friend.
I'll put a motion then that we as a council formally invite Minister Parker to, when it suits, to come and visit and spend some time with this council so we can listen to him and work with him constructively. That's a long motion.
We'll just stop it at the formally invited. And can I suggest, and it'd probably be impossible to pull off, that we invite Damien O'Connor, Minister O'Connor, at the same time.
Yeah, perfect.
And either one, but yeah. And I'm not trying to back out of it or look for excuses or anything, but one thing that's very apparent, it was apparent on Waitangi Day, is that Minister Parker has a huge portfolio.
Yeah.
But one day he'll be passing through.
But certainly, you know, we could suggest, you know, some of your agenda items, of course, water quality,
yeah.
But also central, you know, South Dunedin's been raised as well. And then you know, Minister Connor, in relation to, you know, Scott's portfolio, Mycoplasma and K5. And
biosecurity.
Biosecurity.
Mm. All right, motion's there. Is there a seconder?
Yep.
Councillor Lawton, any discussion? I'll put it all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Are you comfortable, Mr. Gardner? No further questions? I'll move that the chairperson's and chief executive's reports are received. Seconded, Councillor Bell. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. All right, on to matters for council decision. Item 11.1. Now, Ms. Winter, you've got your signature at the bottom of this, but I might just ask Mr. Donnelly to update us. There's been some developments since the paper was written.
Right.
In fact, very recently. And Mr. Donnelly, if that's all right, Ms. Winter, can you just update us on this topic, please?
Yeah. So what we've got here is recommendation to change the quorum to the RCC. And that quorum is stated in terms of reference for the RTC. What we've done a bit more investigation, stated in terms of reference, or quorum in terms of reference, doesn't override the quorum clauses in standing orders. So standing orders actually stipulates that a quorum will be half if the number of members is even, and it will be the majority if it's odd.
Mm-hmm.
So having anything different than that in the terms of reference is actually null and void. So making this ironic, but this change actually isn't required. The quorum should stay as four because there's eight members. The only thing that can get stipulated in terms of reference with regard to the quorum is that you can add that, in this case, the bit about having the representative from the Otago Regional Council present as part of the quorum, but you can't change the actual number stipulated. So the recommendation here is probably, and this paper is probably not required.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Councillor Kempton is Chair of the Transport Committee.
Things don't normally come as easy. The only thing that would stipulation of one ORC representative present is an issue. So let it be.
So we're comfortable to, we don't need to actually move any recommendation?
Recommendation could be something along the lines that the reference to the quorum there could be
removed.
Yeah, other than stating that an ORC member should be present as part of the quorum. But other than that, reference to the number could just be removed.
Yeah.
I'm happy to move that recommendation.
That any reference to a quorum in the Regional Transport Committee's terms of reference be withdrawn, and
the only stipulation.
The only stipulation
being that the requirement for one member or one representative of the ORC, as is already stated in the terms of reference, be remain.
Right.
That's stated in the terms of
it
reference.
It is stated currently.
It is?
Yes. So do we need to actually add that?
Well, given on the basis that we're going back to standing orders, it might actually become, I'm not certain.
I think
clarity.
Yeah, I think it should be, seeming orders allows that to be stated, and in this case, as ORC's committee, I think it'd be prudent to leave it in there.
Yep. Righto. Moved Councillor Kempton, seconded Councillor Bell.
Yeah.
Discussion?
Yeah, just the only comment is, through you, Mr Chairman, Councillor Kempton was, and I'm not sure whether this was the process through here, one of the queries is that some district councils have a problem sending the same person along, and it has to be consistently the same person, isn't it? In these meetings to make the quorum. And what we have sometimes is that one can't come, but he deputises somebody else, but it's not counted as a quorum vote. So
no, that was part of a deal of going to four. Was that difficulty? That overcame that difficulty.
I just want to get that clear that we.
Right. That was so that's not going to change.
No.
I think that's on the act.
Yes.
Well, I think that might be where it might have to change.
Yeah. And so that was a long-winded approach, and we just said, well, because we're in line with Southland now with 50% representation.
Yeah.
That's fine. That'll work.
Good.
Stephen,
no further discussion?
Yep, bring up a point. Well, that was what I wanted to expand on, as well as the inability to use electronic connection to meetings and perhaps actually what should be done for going in, you know, into the future is to actually have the discussion about, well, you know, can we deputise? And if not, how do we continue to include people using technology into those discussions? And I think actually, obviously, that does need to be changed at a... I couldn't figure out if it's the Local Government Act or if it was the New Zealand Transport Authority and Transport Plan. But it was... It sounds like we've got to a resolution now and for immediate point, but in the future, this is going to continue to be a problem to getting people to coming into these sorts of meetings. Why don't we ask that actually is looked at? Because we can't be the only ones to have this issue.
No, and I think our standing orders address that, Mr Donnelly.
Standing orders address the audio link issue. You still require the quorum present in the room. So there's 8 members of the RTC. 4 of them would have to be at the meeting. The other 4 can still call in.
Okay, and they still have voting rights.
And they still have voting rights. They just don't form part of the quorum.
Okay, well, and the deputising issue, I think, is also... I would have thought that there would be flexibility in that too.
Ms Willard?
Through you, Mr Chair. Has there been an opportunity to take a remit through the LGNZ process on this sort of thing? Has it happened yet? And this must affect councils all over the country.
Sorry,
so at national level, is that the way that we would do it? Is get our Otago Southland friends to take a remit through the national...
That could be a possibility. I think if the councils identify a deputy, for the want of a better name, at the time they give us them, they're able to... use both of those, is that correct?
No. That's the other issue, is that there are alternates nominated.
Yes,
because, and when we, but the alternates are just above on the seat. And they can't vote. But to my mind, this is a slightly bigger issue. Maybe we need to go through all the various processes that we have and see where, because the Land Transport Management Act issue won't be the only issue around audio and video. So it might just be worthwhile doing a little bit of research and saying, well, we actually have 3 other situations as well. Can we take the whole thing through LGNZ to update the whole scene?
Probably done it.
The problem,
someone at LGNZ has probably done it.
Some councils don't follow strictly the policies on some of this. Councillor Scott.
I've got 2 points. The first one is in relation to the issue that the quorum needs to actually be in the room. We have actually discussed that better before in terms of, to some degree, we asked Mr Donnelly to go and do some research. He came back with some research and we accepted that conclusion. And I think there are some reasons for it. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. And the second question is there a fundamental issue here, you know, behind the scenes? I look at this, you know, council meeting, there's 11 out of 12 councillors here. You know, we meet
I don't know how many times in a year. Looking at the information for this particular committee, they have to meet a minimum of three. I'm not sure how many meetings there are. But so it's an innocent question. Is there an attendance issue for this committee? And if there is, why is there? Because it's easy to, you know, run and change the rules, or we need to lower our quorum. But A, supposedly this is an important matter. I would have thought you need people, not just anybody, to put their hand in the air, people that have been part of the journey, to actually do some positive input.
There aren't too many committees that work this way, in that we have representatives from every territorial local authority. Generally speaking, the people on that committee are actually busy folk in their own councils, and it's extremely difficult to get eight people who don't have another council commitment to their own council at the same time, to actually be able to match that up. But more importantly, this became a significant issue when we had to have a meeting in Ranfurly at a really odd time of the day to make sure that we got a variation through for the Queenstown bus situation. And that had to be done that week, because the following week it was coming through to this council, and you know how that thing went, chonk, 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 and it happened. Now, more of the current RLTP that we're currently hearing this week, that has got a lot more placeholding in it and a lot more scope for variation, given that there are lots of line items that are going to change rapidly because of rapidly changing conditions, particularly in the western part of our region. And wanting variations to the plan, you have to have a meeting for a variation. So a minimum of three is, in fact, kind of irrelevant.
Okay.
Significantly more than that. And so within at a week or two's notice, to allow changes to take place at the rate at which they've got to change, and to allow our statutory processes to accelerate to the degree to which they have to, we're looking for short notice, and we're looking for people to, eight people to say, yep, that time will suit me, when we've all got conflicting, many of them have got conflicting responsibilities with their own councils. So it's just a bit more flexibility.
Okay, at the end of the day, I'm satisfied that this rule is consistent with our standing orders, which is consistent with national standing orders. Thank you.
Yep, great. Any further discussion? All right, we have a recommendation on the table. It's been moved and seconded. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. 11.2, Harbour Master Delegation for Rex. Mr McLean, your name's against this. Would you like to introduce the paper, please?
Through the chair, this is it's a formality. The delegation to remove Rex sits with the chief executive, seeking a further delegation to the harbour master. To have the delegation to remove Rex, it's essentially for efficiency purposes. A wreck may pose a danger to navigational safety and need to be removed promptly, and the chief executive may or may not be available at the time. So, seeking a
full-time harbour master, it's appropriate.
It's an appropriate delegation.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Happy to move, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Neill. Seconded, Councillor Scott. Question.
I had a question. It just wasn't clear to me when I read the recommendation whether it was a further delegation to the harbour master, or whether the harbour master was going to be the only delegated authority.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I took it that it was there anyway.
Seeking a further delegation through the chair. So there'd still be a delegation remaining with the chief executive.
If it's not clear, then maybe the words need to reflect. Maybe delegated to the harbour master and as presently to the CE. Yeah.
Well, that further delegation would appear.
Yeah.
Delegated to the harbour master and the chief executive. already is, though.
And as President,
just said that further delegation, it's already, this is the other one.
That further delegation.
Is that?
Yep.
Ms. Scarney, are you comfortable with that?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Mover and seconder are comfortable with that
change.
Thank you, Councillor Neal. No further discussion. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Finance report. Item 12.1. Financial report for the 31st of December. Mr. Donnelly, anything you want to highlight there for us?
There's not a lot to add to this report. We had the November report was at the previous committee round, which was only 3 weeks ago. But at that point, the December financials weren't finished. So December being halfway through the year, we thought it was important to update this rather than waiting until the next Finance and Corporate Committee. Variances are all largely in line with as they were 3 weeks ago. Only one that I would point out is the Tyree schemes there. The variance, the overspend there from the flood in December was the first year that that's, first month that that's actually decreased from the previous month. So a little bit of that overspend has been pulled back, and hopefully we're hoping that we can pull a bit more of that back over the coming months. But there's still obviously going to remain a significant overspend for the year in that area.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Councillor Kempton.
We're old annual, but this is the first time I've had the opportunity to talk about this in the presence of our new Chief Executive. 1.2 million behind, particularly in rural water quality implementation. I know it's a financial report, but the reasons there's a change of approach and developing a pilot for on-site assessments and so on, we decided probably last annual plan to get that done. There's a big lead time. And the, to my mind, with respect, there is simply not enough tension. There's just not enough tension. And the numbers are telling us that, and we have explanations as to why, but they aren't reasons. So I'm pleased to see that the minimum flow project is over, is slightly over expended, and so it ought to be because that's on a big catch-up run. But I think we need the same on water quality. I think we need a bit more tension in that process. Because we're seeing this again and again and again, slippage over years. Now's the time to arrest it. Maybe it's a little late, but better late than never.
Does anybody want to respond?
Chair, I can make a comment.
Yes.
Councillor Kempton. Certainly, okay, it is behind in schedule, and since my arrival, I've been doing my very best to bring it back to schedule. Mm-hmm. I can confirm that the tenders have been assessed for this project, and the successful tender has been awarded. The timeline that we're working to having those survey results back will be made. And I intend to stick to those timelines.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Councillor Scott.
Councillor Kempton said a similar thing at the last committee meeting, and both times appreciated that he did. And I was unsure whether I would say something. Look, Sean, this isn't, you know, an attack in terms of your directorate or your work or whatever. It's just, you know, let's just elevate it up here that, you know, on the big picture time frame thing, you know, like how are we tracking? And quite simply, we're not, there's a lack of clarity. There's a lack of a plan. And then down on the ground, it's no surprise that it comes out as issues in the financials because we're not moving forward. And even if we tick off the milestone that Chand is talking about, there's still a lack of clarity in terms of the big picture. And so at the last committee meeting, I said to our CE that certainly from my perspective, one of our biggest priorities is to bed down that plan. So that talks about the milestones this year and next year in terms of pilot studies, but it also tracks up in terms of 2020, 2025, consenting regimes, communication regimes, technical regimes, pulls it all together. So, and then from all of that,
you know, our governance staff then know basically where we're going, and we can also talk about it and articulate it and work with our community. Hey, we're in a hotbed right here. And it is my view that that we over the last period of time, we have successfully operated some reference groups just for a finite period of time, and they've come to a close, and it is my view, and I think of others, that we implement a reference group with a mix of governance and staff just to bed this one down, and when the plan is agreed, then we move on and do something else.
Councillor Solana Robertson.
Fully support those views. I want to be really positive, I think. We've got an opportunity to look forward from here. I don't want to thrash past at all.
Yeah.
I want to look forward really positively. We do have a new CE as well. I think it's a really opportune moment to look forward and plan really well where our particularly water quality projects are heading. I actually think there's a lot more going on than what governments are aware of too. I think some of it is packaging that up and positively sharing it and hitting the same messages over and over again from all of us, as you've just said. We need to shape up for really regular workshops on this matter for all of us. I know that Councillor Scott advocates for that as well. I'm sure we all do. But I do feel as well that in the meantime, shaping up for that would be helpful to have people who could meet quite often in a reference group to make sure we're ready for doing that. So yeah, really support him on that. I would actually move that from the paper that we establish a reference group on water quality.
I'm happy to second that, Councillor Robinson.
Discussion on that recommendation. Comfortable?
Yeah, look, I support it. I think everyone needs an update just so that we're clear where we are at initially, and then reference groups can carry on. Yeah, but we certainly need an update.
Good. And timely from an LTP timing perspective.
Through you, Chair. Absolutely agree that it's very important that you are fully across the water quality work that's being done. Absolutely, in terms of highlighting the priority for that. Not just for us, but obviously nationally now as well. And so very happy to bring back a plan for you to discuss at a committee meeting and also to make sure that you are regularly updated.
Councillor Hope.
Just going to say I endorse what Councillor Brown says. I also like to say that recently I went on a water tour and I was actually hit up by a gentleman. He's quite imposing and said to me about this, what's going on with 6A? We've heard nothing. Then, and he had a grumble. Then he said, actually, on a second thought, about the last 18 months, you guys are starting to talk to us, and it's really terrific. So I could have got one end, but I got the other, and said exactly what I said. New CEO, things are coming along nicely, but there is things probably that you don't see as well. So, yes, so support.
Good.
May I make one comment?
Yes.
I think what's really interesting about the upcoming work is it's we've done a series of surveys around awareness raising, and I intend to bring those back to council. This one's really about readiness. So, in a sense, it's going to bring back some data for us to look at that will determine the next steps in the water quality journey on one level. So I think May will be an interesting point to look at an overview of what's actually happening out there and whether people are, in fact, ready for the changes that are coming. Because at the moment, we don't really have a complete data set around that. Because we've never done the work. So I'm pretty excited to see what this survey brings back in terms of informing the next steps.
Good. All right, I'll put the recommendation now. Open for discussion, and it's been moved and seconded. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Back to the finance report. Any further questions? All right, the report is received as the recommendation. Councillor Brown, are you happy to move that? Yep. So seconded. Councillor Noon. No further discussion. I'll put it all in favour. Please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. On to item 12.2. Very much procedural update from on the document signed under Council's seal. You'll see some documents and then several appointments with respect to warrants and enforcement activities. Everybody comfortable? Somebody happy to move the recommendation that the report is noted? Councillor Hope, speaking to Councillor Brown. No discussion, I'll put it all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. On to item 13 of our agenda, report back from councillors. Do we have any? Councillor Hope.
I attended an invitation to go on a tour, and we had the lovely Miss Sutton and Mr McLean with us. We absolutely froze. At the top of Rocklands, we were looking at...
Miss Sutton, you're not appropriately dressed.
I have to say that it's an ambitious what they wanted to do, but you've basically got Maniatato Irrigation Company, and correct me to you too if I've got this wrong, because it was cold and it was hard to hear. But they're on one side, almost like the Rock and Pole. Strathcoe Irrigation's on the other, and they want to build two weirs. And this is where you start asking the questions. You know, the first one was about 2.5 million, roughly. The next one was sort of 3.3. And then they're feeding off, Maniatato Irrigation Company, pick up the water down, and we went down to the Payrail Dam there, didn't we? We had a big look, and basically that's what they want to do. It was a very ambitious project. So we were there with some good company like Oceana Gold, Trust Power. There was a lot of different stakeholders. There wasn't many farmers, probably because I think, unfortunately, the field days were on. But it was very good. It was a lot to take in. And I did ask the one thing I think was important. I said to Mr. Crutchley about on-site storage, what are the difficulties? Why do people not do this? And I've asked it on three different occasions, and it was quite interesting, the answers. Good tour. And I just said to these two staff members, I'd love to go back on another day and pick up a bit more information, and you know, we were just kind of getting the gloss over, if you like, but needs to be a lot more detail.
Good update on the Strathcoe project, and the first stage of which has been consented by ORC, but they're now moving to future stages. Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Bell.
Chairman, on the 16th of January, I met with Councillor Noon and Roger Williams, the Young Macau Irrigation Manager, along with Tanya and Sean and Lisa for a tour of Forbes Dam and the current Menihirikia Valley irrigation schemes. We had stop-offs at Menihirikia River, Dunstan Creek, Lauder Creek and Thompson's Creek to get a better understanding of the flows and water quality. And Roger gave us a very interesting day, gaining an insight into the management of the above schemes in very tough, dry, climatic, hot conditions. And I'm sure the rest of the team got a good understanding of that. And later in that afternoon, Councillor Noon and I visited a number of farmers at Blacks at Ofa, discussed rabbit increase numbers, and that was a very fruitful meeting. And later on, we went on to Galloway, as you already know, to have a look at the Galloway oat cooker, etc. And we have a bit of a result going there. But I just want to say that out of these discussions, that those group of farmers now are very keen to move towards looking at an opportunity of forming something like the Maniatato Pest Company. And I'd like us to be part of that leadership. I have a particular person, which is David Small, that is very keen to act as the sort of interim chair, I suppose you would call it, just to get that progress. I've talked to Phil Smith. He's now not the chairman of the Maniatato, it's now Charlie Hoare, and he said that they would be only too pleased to come over as a team and get involved in discussion. So I'll have a chat later with Scott and Tanya with that, to try and get some progress and leadership there. A couple of Mondays ago, I attended Ettrick for the Lakes for the Sea meeting with regards to the Clutha Matau River. There was a large attendance there. I think there was around 37 locals there, plus the staff. I introduced the staff and the reason for the meeting, and the biggest part of that discussion was really basically around Contact Energy's consent for the 250 cumex discharge. They produced graphs, our graphs, to Tom, the policemaker, and staff, showing that the actual release of discharge was well down below 200, in fact, down somewhere around the 180s. And there was a huge concern there, there was a real breach there in the consent and their belief, and they are very concerned with their with being able to pump irrigation water for their market gardens, horticulture and pastoral farming. Tom did a very good job in handling that discussion, and I'll leave him at some stage perhaps to report back to us with regards to that, because rightly so, there is some deep concerns there on the consenting process with contact and the breaches. Also, I got rolled into three other meetings. One was about rabbits. There's a huge problem there. A number of them cornered me for that with regards that they believe they're off the scale of the McLean scale. And there's a deep concern. So I happened to, a couple of days later, coming home from Waimumumu, run into Trevor Crossan and Haynes Patrick in Roxburgh, and we had a jolly good yarn about what that content was. And so I believe we do need to get around the table, and Andrew's very agreeable to this, with our people from the coal face up there and have a good yarn about these rabbit problems. Also at that meeting, there was about six landowners, in fact eight, counting the chairman who eventually of the community board, Raymond Gunnan, came into this particular group. But I had another meeting. I never left there until quite late that night, and this was about their concerns about the creeks from Stevenson's Creek, you know, Black Jack, etc. And I must say, Black Jack, the water's tearing down there again today, and the gravel was coming back down again in the front end loaders, and it's not good. But the concern of Bruce McGregor led the group, and I've got to get back to Bruce, Mr. Chairman. But there is they're wanting some help with engineering that they need to do themselves. They're mucking around in the creeks trying to build walls, but they need help to know whether they're doing it right and wrong. This is the landowners, and they just believe there needs to be some discussion. Later on, to the end of the meeting, Raymond Gunn, the chairman of the Teviot Valley Community Board, has said that Sean and somebody else was up there, Dr. Gavin, I think, Palmer, here we are, that Tim Cadogan and NZTA and Fulton Hogan, I think, we're all going to get together collectively to have a talk with the local community. But they've asked me to come back to them urgently. They're wanting to get on with the job because they just said that there's some areas that they need help and advice, and there's areas that they believe they can advise and give help also to some problems that they see also. So there's a joint thing there. So it's very, very important. So I need to get that going and report back to them with the opportunity of help and advice, which I've got underlined here. And they see this as being a continuing problem unless something is done about it.
Yeah, so Dr. Palmer, are you or your staff aware of... And because that's going to hand over to the staff to liaise with the landholders or the infrastructure owners?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I wasn't aware of a request by landholders for specific advice, but I'll talk to Councillor Bell afterwards. We'll make sure we make that contact. I can say that Ms. Sutton and I met with Mr. Gunn and Mr. Jeffrey in Roxburgh and with Central Otago District Council staff on the 9th of February, reconstructive meeting. They were happy with our approach at the moment, which is to do no further engineering work until we get the advice from GNS Science on what further work should happen. We also talked about a public meeting involving the three agencies, including NZTA, and Ms. Sutton is making arrangements with CODC and NZTA for that.
Great.
And just very quickly, I might just add that one of their big concerns were, and it related to the question that was asked by Councillor Hope at our last committee meeting, And the previous owner of the Laurel Farm, which is where Black Jack Creek is, came from the North Island, and he put a big chopper through there and sprayed all that country, and it's killed all the trees and the bushes and all the scrub. It actually helped to control that water flow that's actually shedding into that into that catchment of Blackjack Creek. So we discussed about should there be some management plans, and they're all yes, but you know, I worry about their neighbours and everybody else that are doing things, but there is a just to endorse that concern that Councillor Hope raised at our last meeting. They have that same concern.
Thank you. Councillor Lawton?
I just had a question actually regarding, I guess, is there a process that we work through after the likes of flooding where people are going back into riverbeds and moving a rock that may have already been moved through the flooding process but back again, because normally you would need consent to do that. That would be another basis. I'd be interested to understand what management needs to be undertaken by those landowners as well. Is there a process that they have to work through, Gavin?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, possibly, but I will find out more detail on this particular circumstance. Mm. We would encourage people to come to us just to ask us to do it and then to assess it, because sometimes it can make it worse, as you can appreciate. But I'll certainly follow up with Councillor Bowler and we'll make direct engagement with these people.
Yeah.
And find an arrangement that works best.
Okay, so they should all, but they it, just because there's been a flood and there's been movement, those landowners should still be coming back to ORC to have that discussion anyway.
Yes, and there should be some overall coordination in terms of making sure, from a technical and regulatory point of view, we're making it better and not worse for everybody, including themselves.
Great.
I think the question for you, Mr. Chair, is ORC going to them? That's what they're wanting. They're wanting that help.
Yes, so I can answer that. So for the moment, we've done quite a bit of work to manage the interim risk. And once we get the advice from GNS Science, we'll then determine what further work to be done and where. And we're getting that as quickly as possible. And we will be sharing that with the community as well.
Yeah. And through the Chair, part of the intention of the public meeting is to go back to that community and do a bit of the lessons learned and to find out anecdotally what their experience of the event was, as well as how we can better respond and work with them on a way forward in terms of any remediation that might need to be done in the area. It was also raised that NZTA, the community feels as though NZTA have some further work to do on the culverts in the area, so we're trying to do it in a collaborative way so that we can get everybody in the room and have a good conversation and engage them in the solution.
Right. Further reports?
No,
can I just one more point?
You go.
Councillor Lawton?
So just further to that, you're continually watching particularly social media over the summer period, just as a bit of report back, and it's constant that the community expects councils to know everything that's going on in the community without any real awareness of needing to inform councils on what's going on in the community. So I think whenever we're in that situation, we have to have that conversation. Yes, that's fantastic that you're bringing it up with me, and have you informed anyone else? Through the social media, you even just link in ORC, hoping that something's going to happen, and hopefully provide an extra point of contact. But there's a lot more education that needs to happen with the community to suggest that we're not all ears and all eyes on the ground, and particularly in the more isolated areas of our communities.
Can I follow up on what something that Graham's just raised? And Graham, outstanding report from the ETRIC meeting, thank you. And that is the contact energy issue. I asked independently, interestingly, from Tom to send me all the consents that relate to the Clutha from electricity companies in contact, obviously, in particular. And Graham's just mentioned that there were breaches or alleged breaches of the consent relating to Roxburgh and the Take. And I guess the thing that flows from that, given that we're about to prosecute two district councils and another group, is for breaches, is have we investigated and determined that there were breaches of that consent, and what action are we taking as a consequence?
Probably not in the position to answer that today, are we?
Through the Chair, we're looking at the consent and the data that's provided under that consent, but probably not appropriate to comment any further on it because that's investigation underway.
So there is, so you can assure me that an investigation underway deal with those claims of those folk from Metric.
I can assure you that we are investigating the alleged breaches.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, no further report back from Council. Councillor Scott?
Just thank you to Ms. Sasson for letting me know about the bus meeting at Waikari, and I did actually attend it, and it was a packed hall, and there was a lot of community angst on principally a health and safety basis, and Jared and his team were there, and I think they'll be reporting back at some point after their reconsideration.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, everybody comfortable? All right, we'll move on to item 15, which is the recommendations from our committees. Firstly, the recommendations of the technical committee. Somebody like to move?
I'll move, Mr. Chairman, that the minutes are adopted. Minutes from the January
Seconded,
Councillor
Law. Yep. I'll put it all in paper, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, mm-hmm. Carried. Thank you. Recommendations of the communications committee. Councillor Hogue. Seconded, Councillor Kempton. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Recommendations of the policy committee.
Yes.
Aye. You. Seconded, Councillor Neal. Are you happy to second those?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for looking up. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Recommendations of the regulatory committee.
Aye. And second
you.
Those, too.
Second those. Councillor Neal, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And lastly, the recommendations of the public portion of the Finance and Corporate. Moved Councillor Brown, seconded Councillor Hope, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. All right, item 16, we do need to move into public exclusion. The basis for that is in your agenda. I'm happy to move that we move into publicly excluded. There is seconded Councillor Hope. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Now, oh, my apologies. As part of that recommendation, also should have been noting that we asked Mr. McKay, the executive officer, to be permitted to stay in the meeting to speak to the paper. All right.